Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 322, stanzas 1 and 4. How shall the young direct their way? What light shall be their perfect guide? Thy word, O Lord, will safely lead, if in its wisdom they confide. 1 and 4 of Psalter 322.
From God's holy word, that which can be found in the book of 1 Timothy, there are the 4th chapter, but before that, the 12 articles of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that is now, that now is, and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. These things command and teach. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Meditate upon these things, give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee.
Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, thou who art the blessed and only potentate, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, who only, as we have heard in this morning, hath immortality, who dwelleth in the light that no man can approach unto, wilt thou give us in this afternoon a feeling sense of our own unworthiness, our own guilt, our own pollution, as we attempt to draw nigh unto the great and eternal God. Before thee the crowns are cast in thy great glory, and here upon this world thou dost witness that men do mock thee, and who turn their backs unto thee. And we are among those who can live so carelessly in this world, even as if that thou didst not exist, seeking after all the things that do not profit, and living as if that there is no God. But wilt thou come with thy Spirit, O Lord, to us and our dear children? For then it shall become different in one moment, when we shall feel and know that thou livest, and that thou art the King of kings and Lord of lords. Thou art able to speak as in the creation when thou didst make all things with one word of thy command. And thou dost uphold thy creation with thy providence, speaking one word and guiding all things with one word of thy command. We often do fear for all that takes place in the world, but thou hast it all under thy control. And yet the judgments of thee, they are to be feared, are coming upon us and upon our children. And when we also as nations are left more and more over to ourselves to work out that sin and iniquity which we have within our hearts, So that it seems that there is no more restraint in our land. O Lord, we beseech thee that thou may remember us as nations to turn us again and to have mercy upon us, that we would not work out our own destruction, but that we may be kept yet by thee who art able to keep us. Remember us then in thy mercy and all those that rule and reign over us. But remember us also as churches, for thou hast worked with thy Spirit in the days gone by, in the days of our fathers, our forefathers. Thou hast given of thy Spirit in the olden days in rich measure, so that many receive that tender fear of thee within their hearts, and some even when they were so very young. O Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is thy own testimony in thy own word. O, to whom else can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we are such that we will never turn unto thee, except that we are turned by thee. Lord, come thou. Come thou unto us and unto our children. Do stop us in our mad career, as we carelessly go upon our way, and as we do work out our own destruction by nature, conceived and born in sin. But may it be also that among us are a people who have to whom that thou hast said so far and no further. And could it be that it is thy intention and lying in thy divine decree and will that many among us also must yet be brought in unto thy kingdom, that thy word which may be brought from Sabbath to Sabbath day may be profitable for the pulling down of the strongholds and for laying a new foundation for the life to come. That thy dear Son may become precious and necessary to each and every one of us. Then we must see and feel our sin and guilt. We feel it not by nature, O Lord, that is thy own work. Convict us then of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. For the first time, but also by renewal in the life of thy people, reveal thyself more and more in the life of thy people, that they may receive eyes to behold thee and a heart to love thee, that they may receive that hope that casts its anchor within the veil, that they may receive eyes to behold thee as thou dost show thyself through the lattice, and that they may receive a little of that hope and comfort that belongs unto thy people. As thy servant did say, the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. Oh, Lord, that it may be spoken of more and more also in the midst of us as a congregation, that others may also hear and fear, that they may be drawn to seek Thee also while that they are young. Remember our children when the school will begin once again in the week to come. Wilt Thou be on the right and on the left of the teachers each and every day for the responsible task that is laid upon their shoulders? Wilt Thou give them wisdom, strength, diligence, and the fear of Thee? Wilt Thou give obedience to our children that they may hear instruction, that they may be given that knowledge for the things of this life, but that they may receive also there that instruction concerning the need of their souls. Oh, that eternity may tell of the fruits that also have come forth from that place. Could it please Thee to give us more teachers? Oh, bind this matter upon the hearts, especially of our young men, that there may be those who may fear Thy name in truth, and that may have bound upon them that great need for the instruction of the rising generation, and that may be given to see something of the beauty of that blessed task, the great responsibility, and that there may be those also in our midst that have a desire to do that work. Wilt Thou look upon us also as churches, for them we have heard that also one of Thy servants in the Netherlands has been taken away. O Lord, then that Thou wouldst remember all that mourn and the congregation, the denomination. But, oh, could it please Thee also to bind this matter upon the hearts of Thy people, that Thou wouldst send forth more servants into Thy vineyard, for the harvest that is great and the laborers are few. Many of Thy servants, they do become older, and there is weakness among us. O Lord, could it please Thee to remember us in Thy mercy, that there may also be those who may be able to give themselves up unto that work upon the sending of heaven, that they may have to succumb to Thy will and to Thy command in all the impossibility of that way. Oh, it is Thy own work, Lord. Remember him that hopes to be installed next week into that holy office, that Thou may give him healing in his body, and that it may be able to be accomplished. And wilt Thou give him to look upon to Thee in all that lies before him. Do remember all those that bring Thy word. Wilt Thou look upon all those that are needy, those that are afflicted in the mind. Thou knowest where that they are, for this burden that is often a very great and heavy one. It can be that they are old, but it can be that they are also young. Oh, could it please Thee to remember them, for Thou art also creating the mind. Remember those who have afflictions of the body. Wilt Thou supply in the need, give healing. Remember when there are those that are suffering from addictions, those that suffer from serious diseases, those that are handicapped, those that are poor, those that have difficulties in the families, Lord, the troubles in this world, they are multiplied because of our sin. Oh, bring us all together upon our knees. Give us to feel the seriousness of our life. Give us a place before Thee to cry out in our need, and that we may know also that we have a soul and are traveling to that great eternity. Teach Thou us with our children to number our days and to apply our hearts unto wisdom. Remember us when we will begin the confession class in this coming week. Lord, Thou dost give it in the hearts of some of our youth, that they have a desire to join themselves unto Thee, unto Thy church and Thy truth. But there are also many others. Oh Lord, we beseech Thee that Thou may bring them also, could it be with desire, and with a decision, even as Thy servant of old, rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Look Thou upon us also, when as a consistory we hope to meet. Wilt Thou be on our right and on our left? Give us wisdom, discretion, that we may be able to lead the flock over which Thou hast made us overseers. And remember Thou us also in this hour, for Thou knowest our need, the need of our body, Lord. Thou hast given a little strength, but we need more strength if we will do all our work. Oh, it is all lying in Thy hands. Wilt Thou strengthen us if it could please Thee, that we may be able to go in and out amongst this, our flock, and that Thou may help us this hour. Oh, Thou gavest unto Thy disciples the bread, and they had only to hand it out. Oh, we ask of Thee, Lord, for a little food for Thy people in this hour, that there may be instruction in Thy house, and that there may be profit for this life and for another, for young and old together. We ask it in the forgiveness of all of our many, many sins, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter number 38, stanzas 1, 4, and 5. Jehovah's perfect law restores the soul again. His testimony sure gives wisdom unto men. And what follows in stanzas 1, 4, and 5 of Psalter 38, and the last collection today, is for our school. beloved congregation, the Lord Jesus pronounced woe against the Pharisees. Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. For ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them who are entering to go in. For ye neither go in yourselves, that is woe enough, neither do you go into the kingdom of heaven, that you stand without, and you shall stand without, what shall that eternity be? Woe unto you. But then he says that woe that is increased, it is multiplied. Why? Because he says, neither do you suffer those who are entering to go in. Thus, he says that you are also at the same time as you work out your own destruction, you are an influence to others that are around you. Thus, the Lord maintains our responsibility not only for ourselves, but our responsibility also for our neighbor. We have heard it in this morning concerning his property, but the Lord, he maintains that responsibility also concerning the soul of our neighbor. Thus, we heard of Cain. He said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" But the Lord, he says unto him, "Where is Abel thy brother? What hast thou done? Behold, the voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground." Oh, does the voice of our brother's blood also cry unto the Lord from the ground on our account? Our text for this afternoon can be found in that portion that was read to you, 1 Timothy 4, the 12th verse, 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity." So far, the words of our text. Young Timothy exhorted to be an example. First, the purpose of an example. Second, the substance of this example. And third, the foundation of all example. Young Timothy exhorted to be an example. First, the purpose of an example. Second, the substance of this example. And third, the foundation of all example. "Let no man despise thy youth." Who says that? That is the Apostle Paul. And to whom does he say it? He says it to Timothy. Timothy, he is young. And yet he is an office bearer. He is actually a chief presbyter. That is, before those who are perhaps much older than he is. And Paul, he gives him instruction. He says, "Let no man despise thy youth." You say, well, is that something that Timothy has control over, that he can affect? How shall he affect such a thing? Shall he then rule those over whom he is placed with rigor? Shall he boast and set forth continually the position that the Lord has given unto him? No, the Apostle Paul gives him instruction also how this is to be accomplished. That is, he says, be thou an example. Thus, he gives him the means. This, he says, is the means by which you will receive that respect as a person that is necessary also for that office that you are called to hold. Be thou an example. What is that example? Well, this word that speaks about the mark of a strike or the mark of a blow and of that figure that is being made by that mark of that blow or that impression. Thus, we see an artist. Then he is making something that he is making a figure. He is making an image. It is called an example. So it is actually a picture. It is a representation. It is a pattern. It is an image. This week, boys and girls, you begin school. Are you glad? You may begin school again. We hope so. And we hope also that you will do your very, very best because it is a very, very important thing that you may be instructed in school. Maybe you say, it is so very difficult for me often in school. And that can be true. And then your teachers, they will use the means to make those difficult things more easy for you to understand. And sometimes then they will show to you a picture. We say a picture that is very important because a picture that is worth 1,000 words, we say. And so that is actually this word, this example. It is an image. It is a picture. And it is actually an addition. Thus, when young people, your instructors, they will give you theory. And they will give you the principles of things. Then they will also give at the same time an example. And an example that is a very powerful thing. Especially when things are very difficult to understand. And it is using the things around us, the common knowledge of things around us to give a better understanding. And when we may have that example, then it is often that there is suddenly no more need that we are explaining that theory or that principle because that example, that picture, well, that is giving to us immediately a blessed and a beautiful clarity, an example. Our teachers, they will give examples. But now the Apostle Paul, he says to Timothy that you must also be an example. He says, be thou an example, be thou an image, be thou a representation that is a living picture. And why? Well, that living picture is that which needs to be added to your words. It needs to be added to your admonitions in order to make your admonitions more clear, more plain. that you may be a model of that behavior that you are encouraging, exhorting upon your students or your children, parents. That you are saying, now you must do the same. The Lord Jesus, He washed the feet of His disciples. And when He was all finished, then He said, do you know what I have done to you? He says, I have given to you an example. Why? That ye should do as I have done to you. Thus, we have the purpose of this example, that others, they may follow in that example, that they may do as we do. Be thou an example. To be an example, that is a very powerful thing. It has a very powerful influence upon people that are around us. It can be a good influence. It can be a bad influence. But that influence begins already with our children, with our infants, who are created by God to mimic, to imitate, so that when they are very, very young already, that they are beginning to follow before that they can understand with their mind, before that they can receive it with their understanding, with from words, then they are following already an example. Thus, parents, our example, our life, our conduct, how important this is for our children. Because we cannot only say to our children, do as I say. But do we dare to say to our children, children, watch me and do now as I do? Do we dare say that concerning every aspect of our life? My children, follow me. I am an example to you. Do as I do. Speak as I do. Act as I do. An example. Do you ever consider that too, young people? Do you maybe have a little brother? Do you maybe have a little sister, a nephew, a niece? Then you have two little eyes that are watching you. And they are looking up to you. You do not realize it. You are thinking about yourself, maybe. But think for a moment what is happening in that little mind when they have much respect for their older brother, for their older sister. When they revere you, perhaps. When they say, when I grow up, then I want to be like my brother. Then I want to be just like my sister. Then what an important place that you have also in the midst of your own family. My own father, he had 12 children. He said to me one time, I brought up the first one, he has brought up the rest. And so we see the great responsibility that there is when we are an older sibling. The Lord, He spoke about His own people. He compared them. We know they were divided, Israel and Judah. And then the Lord, He compared these to two sisters. And He said that Israel hath played the harlot. They went after idols. They have left me. They have forsaken me. Then He says, and her treacherous sister Judah saw it. She was watching her little sister, as it were. She saw it with her eyes, and she also, as she has followed the example of her sister. Therefore, it is necessary sometimes, young people, therefore, it is necessary sometimes for a grieving father, for a grieving mother, to turn a wayward son, a wayward daughter out of their doors. Necessary, with a weeping heart. Necessary, we say, why? Well, they say, because I have also other children. And a picture that is worth a thousand words. But imitation that is not only confined and limited to children. Imitation that is also what is done by those who have come to adulthood, because we are social creatures. And as social creatures, we also are imitating one another. What a powerful influence does Satan have in the midst of this world? When we think that there is a television and internet in every home, and how that this world is imitating all of that violence and all of that immorality, then we say how foolish we are as nations. And when we know the nature of a man to imitate others, then how can it but be? And when we let such a media industry go to lay such pictures and images and examples before our children, that we are not a nation which is destroying ourselves. What kind of books do you read, young people? You say you have said that only a little time ago. That is true. School is beginning. We want to say it again. It is so important. You know what Solomon, he says? He says, with an angry man thou shalt not go. Why? He says, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare unto thy soul. We should not underestimate the influence of vain books upon us and upon our children, because so much of our imitation that is also done in an unconscious way without even realizing it. Solomon, he says, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. And when you will take a book now, young people, then we ask of you, to whom are you a companion for a little while, for an hour, a day, when you are reading in that book, that novel? Then you become a companion of those persons that are in that book. And that is for you an example, that is for you a picture. Thus you may ask yourself as you are reading, what effect then will this have on me? To set before myself such an example with a nature that is prone to follow. A powerful thing, an example. And therefore the Apostle Paul, he says to Timothy that he must add an example to his words. Thus we read in the verse previous, these things command and teach. Thus he must teach, he must instruct, he must command. But in this verse, then he says, you must add something to that commanding. You must add something to that teaching. And he says, you must add your example. That powerful, powerful example. But what kind of an example then does he speak of here? That is our second thought, the substance of this example. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. thus an example, an image, a picture, a representation, a pattern. When we have an example, a picture, then we have also to have an object that is, it is also always an image, a picture, an example of something. Thus, Paul, he says, not just be an example, but be an example of what? Be an example of whom? Well, he says, be thou an example of believers. What is a believer? What is a believer, children? Well, there are many people in the world who call themselves believers, and yet we have to be afraid that they are not actually true believers. Because when we see the conduct of such persons, then we say those things, they do not fit together. But what is a believer? Well, a believer, that is one of God's true people. He has received faith. He has received that tender, that true fear of the name of the Lord. He has begun to believe in God, the existence of God, the justice of God, the law of God, the word of God. A believer, he is one who undergoes trial. He is one who is despised in the earth. That is always, the Bible says this. But that was especially in the time that the Apostle Paul lived, especially in the time of the early church, because that early church that was both by heathen and Jew persecuted. They were mocked. They sought to destroy them, and now the deportment of themselves in this world that was so very, very important. Why? Well, especially because they were an example. Because everyone around them was watching. The heathen were also watching. And it is by that example, through the means of such an example, that that persons, they were brought into the true church of God. Is that also in our days? That others also around us see such an example, that they are drawn to that truth that we may profess and that we may exhibit in the midst of a wicked and a perverse generation. Be thou an example of believers. And then Paul, he broadens that out for a moment in six particulars. He says, be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Thus, for a moment, we will take a look at these three aspects. There isn't every one of them a sermon. We can only touch for a moment on each one. But what does the Apostle Paul speak about? He says, be thou an example in word. What does he mean? Well, we are not positive, but it can be one of two things. In the first place, it can be and that he says, be thou an example concerning the word, that is God's word. Be an example of believing that word, that is cleaving unto that word, bowing under that word, receiving, accepting that word as the word of God. There will also maybe, young people, be those of you who in this season will go to university. And there you will be confronted with extremely many temptations. And one of those temptations that will be to atheism. That is, that you will be tempted not to receive that word of truth. And men, they will try to show to you that there is in the word absurdity. Try to use reason and science, science falsely so called, we read in God's word, to try to make you to not believe, not accept that holy word of God. That is, that man with his reason wants to subject God to his own judgment, that he will judge his word, and he will say whether that word that is true or whether it is not true, whether there are parts true and other parts not true, what is to be accepted, what is to be rejected. And thus there will come against you a very powerful temptation. But the Apostle Paul, he says that this does not belong to the example of a believer. Why not? Because in true regeneration there is an unconditional bowing under that word of God. And it is a word that is not received, contrary to what will be said to you, merely by those who are ignorant of all of this world, as if that there are no persons of high education, even as a Moses, even as the Apostle Paul, and as doctors and others in this world, who have not received that word of God unconditionally as truth. No, that word of God that is to be received without the judgment of man. There is in it nothing that is against the reason of man, but there are many things in it that are above our reason, so that we may know our place, not as God, as Adam wanted to be, but as the creature of God, which the Lord has made us. Thus the apostle says, be an example of believers in word. It could be also that he is speaking about the words that he speaks, that is in your own word, that your own word may be a word of truth, that it may be a word of simplicity, that it may be a word of sincerity. Wherever that you go in this world, with whatever contact that you may have within your family, within the church, and within your society, be thou an example of believers in word. Be thou an example, he says, of believers in conversation. Well, you say, then that means the same thing. No, conversation here, that does not actually mean your word, as we use the word conversation, but it is speaking here about your whole life, that is, your whole conduct, the manner of your living, what you do, what you do not do. Oh, how is that now with us? When he says, be thou an example, be thou an example before the church, be thou an example before the world, in not only what you speak, be thou an example in your conversation, be thou an example in your whole life. Are we such an example? What does Paul say? He says there must be a distinction. A distinction between what can be seen in the life of God's true people, a believer, a confessor of the truth, a distinction in the conduct of such persons between them and the world. And he says, you now must be an example in this. You must be a picture in this. You must be an image in this. Or are we also such a picture? But must we say, young people, if I will be honest, sometimes I see you in the world, in the store, in the mall, and then I say, well, who is that? And I say, is that one of our people? When we see how that you are dressed, or are you also an example? Do we say sometimes of a person when we see them, who is that person? Say she has a nice dress on. She is modestly dressed. You say, well, that is a person. She looks like she could belong to one of our people. And then sometimes our people, you say, that is now a person. Well, are you ashamed? Do you need to be ashamed of the truth? Do you need to be ashamed to walk in modesty before the Lord and before the world? Or would we rather be an example, not of believers, but we would rather be an example of the world, an example of worldliness? No. The Apostle Paul, he says, be thou an example of believers in conversation, that is, in your whole conduct. Also in charity. What is charity? Love. That is an example of love in the first place to God. Can that be seen in our life? Is that evident in our life? That we are a picture of love to God? Or then our place that is never empty in the church? Then there is desire to read the Word of God. Are we an example of love to His only begotten Son? Are we an example of love to our neighbor? Do our neighbors hear only that we condemn them, that we condemn their lifestyle, that we condemn the world? Or do they also feel that we love them? Is there in us, or how we can let one another go lost so easy, can we not? Also our neighbor, that we never have a word for our neighbor, that they feel something of our love for them as they are traveling to that great eternity. That is not easy. I do not think it is easy. But it lies upon us as a responsibility, because the Lord, He says, be thou an example of believers in love. Be thou an example of believers in spirit. What is that? Oh, that is our life, our spiritual life. Do we have spiritual life? Are we also an example of those who have our backs to this world, who understand that we are but pilgrims and strangers in this world? Are we an example also of believers in this? That there is a declaration by our whole life that we are seeking a country, that we despise this world that is passing away with all of its pleasures and with all of its goods? Or are we in the smallest part like unto what Bunyan laid out to us in a picture, Christian and faithful going through that vanity fair? Then their eyes, they are set straight before them. Then they are not looking to the wares on the right hand or to the left. and receiving persecution. Therefore, be thou an example. Be thou an example also, we read, in faith. What is that example we read about faith? We read many examples. We read of Moses, that he chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Oh, is that also the example of believers, that our whole life is testifying? Rahab, she is belonging unto that people of Canaan. But in her heart, then she has chosen for the people of the Lord, and she has put her life on the line in order that she may spare the spies of the Lord. In her heart, and she is joined unto that true people of God, believing by faith that the Lord, he was going to give that people the land. Be thou an example of believers in faith, in purity. Timothy was young. He was young, and yet Paul, he says to him, be thou an example, even unto those who are older than you are. That is a wonder. Did our children, parents, did our children ever set before us an example to make us ashamed, that we have said that my child, he does what I ought to do? And here he says to him also, be thou an example in purity. Oh, are you such an example, young people? Last week we heard it, did we not? Thou shalt not commit adultery. Oh, the temptations we feel for you, the temptations of our day, they are multiplying exceedingly. They are all around you. They are at your fingertips. Oh, we would say a man, he cannot but fall except that he is kept by the Lord. Oh, you must ask the Lord every day when you arise in the morning. Say, oh Lord, give me to be such an example also of purity, because Joseph, he was also a young man and he was also tempted, but he was an example of believers in purity. Let us sing Psalter 1:1, 2, and 3. That man is blessed who, fearing God, from sin restrains his feet, who will not stand with wicked men, who shuns the scorner's seat. 1, 2, and 3 of Psalter number 1. no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. Young Timothy, exhorted to be an example, we heard first the purpose of an example, that others might also imitate that example. We heard in the second place the substance of this example in six particulars. Our last thought is the foundation of all example. Be thou an example of believers. You say, I can find many examples in the Word of God of believers that I think that I should not follow. And then you will be right, because we can begin already with Adam and his disobedience. And we can think about Noah and his drunkenness, and Samson in his profligacy, Jacob in his deceit. And we can go to David in his adultery, in his murder, and Solomon in his idolatry, and Peter in his denial, cursing, swearing, and so on. Many examples. It is a wonder they are written in the Word of God. For what? In order that we may follow them. Maybe sometimes, young people, you are tempted in your heart. You say, well, I can go ahead. I can go ahead in sin because I read in God's Word that God's people, they have done it too, and they were later forgiven. That is our wretched heart. That is our wretched heart. But the Word of God that says that he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin, and then there is no more sacrifice for sin. When we will go on in such a way, it is a wonder they are written in the Word of God. Yes, because otherwise God's children, they would think that there is no hope for such a one as they are. But it is not for our imitation, no, not at all. There is only one example in the Word of God, which is a perfect example. And who is that? That is Christ himself. And therefore Christ, he said, follow me. He was a perfect example. Do we have a desire to follow his example? He was a perfect example of obedience, who did no sin, and neither was guile found in his mouth. He was a perfect example of submission to the will of his Father. Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me, I delight to do thy will, O my God, yea, thy law that is within my heart. An example. He was a perfect example of self-denial. Paul, he says, Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps. That is the example of Christ in suffering. Oh, are we so willing as Christ to bear up under whatever burden that the Lord he has placed upon us? That is our example, because he was so willing to bear that weight. But we are so often more like that bullock that is unaccustomed to the yoke and that does nothing but kick against the pricks. There we have that blessed and beautiful example in that blessed Son of God. He was a blessed example of meekness. And when he was reviled, he reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not. But he committed himself to him who judgeth righteously. He was an example of sobriety. You know what we do not read in the Word of God? We never read that Christ laughed. Do you? We never read it. You say, may we not laugh, or we will not go so far. And we do not mean to say, parents, we hope, and teachers, we hope that your classrooms, that they may be places where our children, they may enjoy to be. They may be cheerful places also for our children. But you know, we see sometimes signs, you can buy them, and on them somewhere that says, to laugh, to laugh. And congregation, that goes too far. If that lives, that sign is in your home, bring it down and burn it tomorrow, because we do not read such an advice in the Word of God. Nowhere. Life, that is a serious thing. And Christ, he has set us an example of sobriety in his Word. If that is the way we want to go, that we say now you must laugh, well, then we would say, get your fill of it here, because there is no laughing in hell. No, the Lord Jesus, he says, that blessed are they that weep now, because they are those who shall laugh. Their time that is coming. And the Lord, he says that he was against the prophets, not only because of their outward obvious sin, but he said, because they do make my people to err by their lightness. By their lightness, that is, by their frivolity. Be thou an example of believers. An example that is a very powerful thing, and it has a very powerful influence. You say, why is that then? Christ, he was the perfect example, and that he had so few followers in this world, it was just a remnant. Well, he had multitudes of followers, multitudes, but they all left him. Not all. He said to his disciples, will you also go away? They said, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Why did that multitude leave the Lord Jesus? He says, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, in order that you may believe that I am the Son of God, but you ate of the loaves and you're filled. You look only for the benefits. Pelagius, he said that man, he is born as a blank slate. What does that mean? He is not born good, and he is not born bad. And that man becomes good, or he becomes bad, only by the example that he sees. Thus, virtue and vice, that is all learned by imitation. Is that right? Well, there is much virtue and much vice that is learned by imitation. Therefore, the Lord says that we must be an example. But certainly, man, the Lord says, he is conceived and he is born in sin. Thus, it is especially that evil example that is so attractive to our wicked heart. And the example of Christ, well, the apostle, the prophet already said in the Old Testament that there is in him no form and there is no comeliness. We need to be instructed in the knowledge of our sin. Our catechism that says how great our sins and our miseries are. And now for such a people that may learn how great their sins and their miseries are, what is now the most difficult lesson for the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord, to instruct that people in. Can you give me the answer, children? What is the most difficult lesson for that people who are convinced of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment? You'll have to answer many questions this year. Also catechism. What is the most difficult thing for the Spirit to instruct the people in? That is grace. That is free and sovereign grace. How does the Lord instruct His people in that grace? Well, He does that through His Word. He reveals Himself in His Word to the people. And if we go all the way back to the Old Testament already, that in that most difficult question, the Lord, He has already from the Old Testament set before His people a picture, an example, an image that is of His grace. Why? In order that that simple people may come to see, may come to understand. Thus we have a ceremonial law, and we may see that image of Christ in the very priesthood, in the brazen altar, in the altar of incense, in the candlestick, in the laver, in the ark, in the sacrifices. And so we see that people, they are coming with that image, with that picture, with that example that is before them, that shedding of that blood, with all their guilt, with all their iniquity, that simple people. And they are coming, and there they may receive already before the coming of Christ in this world, the sprinkling of their consciences. And when He came into this world, then His entire life that was setting forth this example for that most difficult lesson to instruct His people in, pictures for the sake of that fearing people, a people that cannot see it anymore, a people who cannot understand, who come in themselves so that they do not know the way. Oh, just listen to His parables. Listen to Him tell of Himself as that good shepherd when He is going out after that sheep who is lost. Are you lost? That is a people who do not know the way to return. Give them all the theory. Give them all the principle. They cannot come to an understanding of it. No, it needs to be applied. And so He is revealing Himself. He is showing Himself by that example as that good shepherd. Oh, see that Father. See that Father. Oh, hear Him tell of that Father. And draw that picture for that multitude of that Father running, running to receive His Son, His prodigal Son, who had wasted all His living, and casting His arms about Him, receiving Him with a kiss, a ring on His finger, and a robe upon His shoulders, a picture, an example, a beautiful illustration of what? Of grace, of free and of sovereign grace to those who cannot come to an understanding of it. Oh, for what? Oh, to set that example before His church, even unto the youngest day of this world, in which His people, they must be instructed. That ignorant people, that people who do not know the way, and that people who are unworthy of the least of all the notice and all the attention of the Lord, who cannot stand before His throne to give Him one answer to 1,000 questions. And then He is setting before them these pictures, these images, these examples. Why? Oh, that they by the revelation of himself, may be given so to draw near to that throne of grace, and there they may receive the sprinkling of their conscience. There they may receive the knowledge of their salvation. Be thou an example of believers. Oh, by his example, Christ, he has opened the door unto heaven for his church. And now he accuses the scribes and the Pharisees of shutting that door, of shutting the kingdom of heaven against men. By what? By their example, by their influence. And they are set as overseers of the church of God when he has opened. And they will, by their example, they will shut it. And us? Office bearers, fathers, mothers, teachers, siblings, students, what do we do? What kind of an example do we set? Because it is not only for us that we live in this world. There are people, there are souls, they are around us. And everything that we do is not limited in its scope to ourselves. But everything that we do that also has an effect, it has an influence upon people, upon souls traveling to eternity that are all around us, souls whom we love. Children, when you boast, then what do? Then you teach others also to boast. Do not do that. When you will swear, then you teach others around you, fellow students, your brothers, your sisters, you teach them also. You say, come and follow me and do as I do. And when you use the name of the Lord in vain, and then another follows you to use the Lord's name in the same way you do, do you know that his sin, he has to give an answer for that, but that you do too? That you do too? Because you have showed him that way. And when you are young people drunken, and when your friend, he will also have another drink, and he will follow you. And you know in the Word of God that the Lord declares that a drunkard, he shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. That you are not only responsible for your own sin. And when you will lead others to look at pornography, and you will help to destroy their whole life, their whole married life, and in the end to destroy their soul, do you realize that your example that is not only condemning him, but it will be also for your own condemnation? We are responsible. We are responsible for our sin. We are responsible when we have set the example for the sins of others, even our carelessness. Oh, who can put his hand into his bosom? How serious is our life? How serious? When we think what an example that we are setting before our children every day, And we think how careless that we were this day concerning the things of eternity. And in that carelessness and in that vanity, we have said to our children, come and follow me and speak about the things that I speak about and do the things that I do. Hell that will be filled with accusations that you have led me here, that you have gone before me. And it will be filled with the self-reproaches of those who reproach themselves for having followed those wicked examples. Oh, the Lord is warning us in His Word. And He does not only warn us with words and with principles, but He warns us even with examples. Read it in the book of Jude, because Jude says that Sodom and Gomorrah, they are set for us for an example. They are set for us as a picture that if we could not understand the warning that the Lord laid in that word, a picture before us to make it as plain as day. O Lot, he is set before us as an example. Ananias and Sapphira, Haman, they are set before us as awful, awful examples that they might teach us, that they might instruct us, but also a Joseph. Oh, he is set before us as an example in temptation. We read Job. He is set before us as an example of patience in suffering, in tribulation. She suffered great trials, so much so that she says, the Lord, he hath dealt very bitterly with me. But now there was something, oh, there was something in that life of Naomi, in all her trials, and all her afflictions, and all her tribulations, there was an example. So that Ruth, she was drawn. And she says, I will go with you, thy people, my people, and thy God, my God. And therefore, the Lord, he says, be thou an example of believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, it is from our side an impossibility, but thou layest before us our responsibility. O that we may be given to take heed, also especially in the season that now begins, that lies before us and our children, when so much instruction going before them, in classes, in the church, in classes, in the school, instruction in the home, oh, so much example. Wilt thou give us faithfulness? Give us the fear of thy name. Bless thy own word. Convert our children despite all our sin. And wash thou us in the precious and all-atoning blood of thy dear Son. And wilt thou look upon us, bring us safely to our places once again this day. Keep us from sin. Give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Help each one in the labors of his hands in the week to come. Forgive our sins. For Jesus' sake, amen. Psalter 415, stanza 6. Well, let us sing stanzas 5 and 6. 5 and 6 of Psalter 415. All the pathways of Jehovah speak of truth and mercies pure unto such as keep his covenant and his testimony sure. 5 and 6 of Psalter 415. Thank you. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.